He doesn't know anything about it. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's what President Trump just said about the FBI raid this morning at the Maryland home of John Bolton, a national security advisor he fired in his first administration. Fox's David Spunt reports.
Worked with FBI Director Patel to provide limited access to some U.S. intelligence that resulted in this morning's raid. Now, we're told that this is likely related to Bolton potentially mishandling classified documents while preparing to write his book.
Now, Bolton, a Trump critic, posted on X after the raid started. He sees no progress in any talks to end Russia's war in Ukraine, but they continue because he says the president wants to win the Nobel Prize. Now, the president again said he hopes the leaders of Russia and Ukraine meet face to face.
They don't get along too well, for obvious reasons, but we'll see, and then we'll see whether or not I would have to be there. I'd rather not. I'd rather have them have a meeting and see how they can do. But in the meantime, they continue to fight and they continue to kill people, which is very stupid.
The president spoke at the Kennedy Center monitoring construction there and also said this about the Washington, D.C. crime crackdown.
They can come up with fake numbers like the mayor is doing. Oh, no, it was going down for 20 years. You didn't live here. You know, have you been mugged? Okay. D.C. was a hellhole. And now it's safe.
Touting there hasn't been a murder in over a week since the crackdown began. The Federal Reserve chairman, who's under pressure from the president to slash interest rates, has just hinted the cut may be coming, sending stocks soaring. The Dow's up almost 800 points. They hit a record high. Jerome Powell also said there's uncertainty.
Significantly higher tariffs across our trading partners are remaking the global trading system. Tighter immigration policy has led to an abrupt slowdown in labor force growth.
The next chance for the Fed to cut interest rates is at a meeting next month. America's listening to Fox News.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there's lots of places that also have it. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every single second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock specialist is going to help solve the identity theft issues guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% off your first year with the promo code BECK at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe, and if you want to do business with a company that actually stands for something, switch to Pure Talk. I did. Sure, I appreciate being on America's most dependable 5G network with unlimited talk and text for just $20 a month, but what I really appreciate is Pure Talk's commitment to our military and to our skilled workforce. That matters to me. Save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword Mike Rowe. Pure Talk, a wireless company that actually stands for something.
Good morning and happy Friday from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. Following a recent stabbing at a Phoenix high school, Yuma police resource officers say they have specific protocols in place when threats arise on school campuses. Now, YPD says their officers go through 70 to 130 hours of training on all different aspects of law enforcement, like defensive tactics and active killer training. YPD says the best thing to do is to be involved with your children and check up on them as much as possible. And with the extreme heat warning in place, locals are looking for ways to beat the heat. Luckily, we have 18 cooling centers and 3 water sites for people to receive bottled water throughout Yuma County. To find them, look for this story on our website at kyma.com. And don't miss the return of Friday Night Lights featuring all the local prep football highlights tonight at 10:15.
No shaking the excessive heat warning. Going to be with us through the weekend. 111 and sunny today, 88 tonight, 110 on Saturday, 88 Saturday night. Sunday, partly cloudy and 111.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Hey, Yuma, good morning. Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Derek Eggerberg, branch manager with Mortgage One here in studio. Russ Clark, color commentary on the board.
Still here?
Yeah. We don't let you, you don't get paroled for another 60 minutes?
Me and the dog have to stay.
Yeah. Well, you have to stay. The dog can come and go as she pleases.
Oh, well.
I mean, all Cindy's got to do is open the door.
I got her locked up.
You're without a friend. You know, we were literally just sitting here, and I said, I don't know what happened because I'm watching the bond chart, and in the last now 7 minutes, bonds have jumped the right way for you and I as a consumer up 26 basis points. And you did your little search, and what did you find out?
That Powell has now said he's leaving the door open to reduce rates in September, and people, you know, on the in Wall Street and stuff just jump on it, and the Dow's up. So
technically nothing has happened other than the comment of it's a possibility.
One comment, and within a few minutes, the Dow jumped 800 points.
So Dow's up. Why is the bond market better?
Well, because it's the opposite, you know.
So you look at, okay, it's interesting how one or two comments change everything without any data behind it. Now, you and I were talking off air. Do you think the Fed should cut rates farther? And you and I both agree it's about a quarter point is what you think will happen in September.
That's generally all they're going to do.
Okay. So maybe we'll get a half a point worth of cut, a quarter and a quarter before year's end. Agreed?
Right.
Okay. And that's because there's tension between Powell and President Trump. Agreed?
You think?
Just a little bit.
I think it's beyond tension.
But call it what
you
will.
It's like a Cold War.
Well, what we said off air is things that you can't say on air.
Right.
Let's just call it tension.
I did, didn't I?
So if you say there's that door open, okay, great. What do you believe, Russ? And I'll tell you what I believe that you really could do with rates.
Oh, I think it could cut another point and a half.
Okay, point to point and a half minimum.
Yeah.
Okay. Spurring on some borrowing, spurring on some purchasing.
Well, and we can look at other countries, like, you know, the Western countries in Europe and stuff. I think Trump has mentioned they've had like 12 cuts in the last year or so, and we're not doing anything. And some of that, and he cut it during Biden when the numbers didn't show that he should, during a political.
Oh, because it's political.
Because it's political. Yeah. And he doesn't like Trump. And Trump doesn't like him back.
And guess what? Sometimes you got to work with people you don't like. But if you're doing the work because it's the work, not because I like you or don't like you, then you make decisions based on the data, right?
Yeah.
So,
and you know, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's going to go up today. It's 872 now.
So
it's up 2%. Dow Jones,
based on
all-time records,
based on comments.
And one comment runs to the microphone. You know, I can run to the microphone every day. I don't have that kind of impact.
You're on the microphone every day, and we know you don't have that kind of impact. So, you know, again, you look at some of these things, and we need to pay attention to what's going on. I can't control the commentary out of Wall Street. I can't control the commentary out of the feds. Can you? No. But we all just need to pay attention to what possibly could happen. Now, do you believe with tariffs and other things the economy is getting stronger here in the United States?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay. When the economy grows and we produce more goods and services here in the United States, what happens to Wall Street?
Oh, it's going to be more profitable. It's going to reflect that in the prices.
So there could be more money in the long run for the average American because of works and jobs and careers.
You know, the stuff that Trump is doing hasn't really hit yet.
Now,
it's coming.
If interest rates dropped, here's the if. If interest rates dropped 1%, what does the Mortgage Bankers Association and the National Association of Realtors say happens to home prices?
They think it's going to go up.
They go up. And their data points, not mine, their data points are when rates drop 1%, prices go up about 10%.
And that's based on supply and demand. And the whole thing is if there's more money, there's going to be more people buying and the demand's going to go up.
Right. And now let's turn the prism a minute. What was Trump demanding Powell do? How much did he want him to cut the Fed funds rate a month ago?
I don't remember, but it was like, you know,
3 points.
Was it 3 points?
He said you need to drop the Fed funds rate 3 points because this is what it does to the American borrowing capacity. And here's
I think is a little bit much.
Could be. But the National Association of Realtors and the Mortgage Bankers Association says a 2-point drop in rates causes home prices to go up 22%. Now, you said supply and demand. If you told me that, let's just use 6%. This is not exactly where rates are. But if rates went from 6 to 4, we would agree that's a 33% cut.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you just increased your borrowing capacity by 20-25% because of that cut, would you then go out and possibly bid a little bit more for that house that you really want?
The potential is yes, and you'll bid more for it if the market demands it. And it's still market-driven, but that market's driven by hungry buyers.
Correct. And so now if rates drop, you take apartment dwellers who didn't feel like they could get out and move them into home buyers.
It becomes maybe the time.
Yes.
And so, good times ahead, good times now. Let's go.
So let's just pay attention one moment. If you see the Fed now opening the door to dropping rates, when staunchly he said no, 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 4 weeks ago when President Trump was saying drop points or drop the Fed funds rate 3 points, if you're seeing the door opened, you and I agree that it's probably a quarter to a half a point cut this year.
Yeah.
Do you see rates going down through this, the first half of next year?
Yes, because there's still so much room that, you know, Trump said 3 points, maybe it's two. But even if we drop half a point this year, I mean, how much room do we have to go to get to where it settles in where we think it should be?
Well, here's the takeaway, I think, for everybody from my seat on the bus. Russ, how much weight have you lost in the last 2 years?
35 pounds, 40 maybe.
Okay. Could you see it day by day?
No.
No. Could you see it even week by week?
Barely.
Barely. If you look back quarter by quarter, you notice the difference.
Well, yeah, and sometimes I didn't even notice the difference until someone told me.
And that's the point, is have rates pulled back just a little bit over the last 4 weeks? The answer is yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Most people wouldn't see it. It's pennies to the dollar. I mean, if you're really watching, mortgage rates have pulled back just a little bit. But if you saw that over the next 6 to 12 months, kind of like your 35-pound weight loss, you don't notice it. But all of a sudden, if you're not actively seeking, hey, maybe it's time to buy or it's maybe time to move up, all of a sudden, you wait too long, the rates have already dropped, and all of a sudden, home prices are up. Don't miss some of those opportunities because, again, when you say supply and demand, do you see a glutton of homes on the market?
No.
Cool. So does that tell you there's an overabundance of supply?
I
there's not.
We don't have an overabundance of supply, but I think it's a little better now than it was.
Little better. There is
a more of a supply, but it's not abundance.
But well-priced homes in good areas go quickly. And they're not sitting on the market unless somebody way overprices it. And somebody's still trying to cash in that winning lottery ticket because they think their home is worth too much. But you see bread and butter homes that are on the market and off the market in 3 to 5 days. And don't look.
That's quick. That's very fast. And during the times where there was like, you know, everyone was looking for a house, it wasn't anything to be had. I mean, you'd get three or four bids on the first day.
And you're seeing some of that for well-priced homes in good areas. Yeah. And so as these rates pull back, if Powell does that and the door is really open, why did we just pick up 26 basis points in literally the last 20 minutes?
Okay. Powell opened his mouth.
Powell opened his mouth. Now, what does 26 basis points mean to the average person?
Not much.
Not a whole lot, because one discount point, 1% of your loan amount is enough to buy your rate down about 0.25%. So 26 basis points, change it to 25, that's a quarter, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a quarter of a discount point. So is that enough to move rates? No, it's not enough to even move it an eighth, but that's cost. So if you were going to borrow $100,000, Russ, 26 basis points is $260 less cost in the last 20 minutes because of what Powell said. So anecdotally, you go buy a $400,000 home, four times a quarter is 1 point, basically. So you're going to save just about $1,000, right?
That's significant.
I'll take $1,000 savings if somebody in Washington and Wall Street spoke, and it saves you somewhere between $750 and $1,000 based on your purchase price, $300,000 to $400,000 today. Interesting that somebody talking over there changes my cost over here.
Mm-hmm.
You and I believe rates are going to come down over the next 6 to 12 months.
Oh yeah, I think Powell was holding up his, and the dam's just going to have to burst. I mean, he's going to have to, you know.
Do you believe that was data centric driven, or do you believe that was
emotional
against?
Yeah. Political, emotional, and because the numbers that they look for all showed that the economy needs to have the rates cut. But he was leaning on, well, we just don't know what the tariffs are going to do. We just don't know, because the tariffs are going to be bad tariffs, and they haven't proved to be at all. But he's still holding out like, well, maybe it will be. And that's just ridiculous. And that's what he was holding it up for.
And you go back to, you know, that relaxing thing that's on your desk, the five stainless steel balls that kind of clack back and forth one side to the other. That's how the Fed operates every time. It's they wait too long, wait too long, wait too long, and the ball gets way over here, and then it starts swinging back, and they make an adjustment, comes back, whacks the snot out of the balls in the middle, and then the other one flies way to the other side. The waiting period is always too long. You're correct. They could have started doing this 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
But they hate Trump.
So they're going to wait too long, and then the data is going to be overwhelming. Then they're going to have to make a shift. And at the time they make the shift, sometimes it's way too far the other way.
And see, when I say I don't like Trump politically, everyone's running for re-election. And, of course, we've got a big election coming up in 26. And if the economy is golden and everything's perfect, people want to keep who's in power. A lot of people will do what they can to hurt our economy, hurt our people, hurt crime, whatever it is. Don't stop crime because Trump will look good.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately,
you're
not real
wrong.
People doing that. And it's so distressing that they would hurt the country to get a political power back. And everyone's fighting for political power back now.
It's too bad that we have so many people fighting for power as opposed to fighting to improve America. You know, you go back to what you were talking about in your side of the show. Cleaning up Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And I would love to go spend a week or two in
Washington, D.C.
Yeah. And just...
Well, give it time for the grass to grow. He says he's going to grow grass everywhere.
But not in the wintertime, right?
No, they can grow it. Oh. The rye grass.
Snowstorms and stuff. But, you know, you look at, okay, where are we going? I think interest rates are going to slowly start coming down. Powell opens the door for the Fed to drop the Fed funds rate, which might make the American debt being carried by the U.S. government cheaper to carry, correct?
Yep.
You need that. You need some of the tariff money coming in. And as you start to see more and more production here in the States, what does that do to the average working person's income?
Well, generally, there's supply and demand. So, you know, you're going to be they're going to be hunting for workers and people that can do things. And there's going to be better opportunities.
OK, so when you start to see other industries moving into the Yuma area, do you believe that if there was an influx of industry and an influx of people moving this way, we have the housing to support that?
No, depending on what comes in. And Yuma's going to be a growth area. I mean, there's areas that are not growing across the nation. You know, there's areas in California that are shrinking.
Well, and we appreciate California pushing people this way because we're going to grow. And that's one of the reasons that, again, I don't want people to go into harm's way. I want people to budget. I want people... I don't care what myself or any other lender says you can qualify for. I want to know what you can afford. So the conversation is always, hey, what's your budget right now? And let's talk about what your budget is, and let's get you into something now before home prices keep going up. I don't see any way home prices don't keep going up here in Yuma area. Unless you had a glutton of 1,000 new homes going up on the market.
Yeah. I don't know what would happen in Yuma to make a housing prices dip. I mean, it would have to be something major, like the Marine Corps shut down or something, but that ain't going to happen.
Or a national thing, like, you know, when we had a huge nationwide collapse. Okay. But do you see a glutton of homes on the market? And that's probably the number one question I get, other than, hey, our rates going down, is, oh my gosh, our home prices coming down. What do you see? I just don't see a glutton of homes on the market. And if there's not a plethora of homes sitting, then how could home prices come down?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not. So when you drive home, anecdotally, how many for sale signs do you typically see when you drive home?
Oh, just a couple. There's not a lot.
Remember when there was the crisis that it was like every other house had a sign in the yard?
Especially in parts of Phoenix when I would go up see my son and stuff.
It was like every one in that neighborhood.
You'd be looking on a street to find a house that wasn't for sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was typically the one with the green grass. Everything else, people had turned the sprinklers off and there was no grass growing. So, you know, again, I'm intrigued that the market has jumped like it did just because Jerome Powell spoke.
Yeah.
I think we need a couple of decreases in the Fed.
I guarantee you my fact checker is not even listening to me now.
No, he's...
Because everything blew up and he has to work furiously fast.
27 phones, 47 screens.
Yes, and he's going as fast as he can go right now because his phones, he's got six phones probably going. But because he's in money business, that's his business. He's in the money.
And money and people.
And
we all should pay attention to that, though. And that's why I say the interesting thing is when you see one person or two people speak and it affects the average person in Yuma, let's say you're buying a $300,000 home, that comment just saved the average consumer $750. For the same rate you could have gotten an hour ago, you just saved $750. Okay, I like that trend. But if that trend continued and you did get a 1% drop in rates over the next year, you and I can say home prices will be 10% higher in the next 12 months. And does that mean you actually picked up any purchasing power?
No.
If rates drop and home prices go up, you're literally in the same position you were before.
Yeah.
And so that's when you go back to budgeting. Hey, look, I'd much rather do something when I have time and I have the patience to budget and I can go back and take a look at my own finances. When I have to go emotionally compete with five or six other people because, oh my gosh, the interest rates dropped 1% and now it becomes non-tactical, that's a problem. That's when people go spend way too much money for what they're buying. And you remember those days when all of a sudden you had 20 buyers putting in blind offers with escalation clauses in them. Russ, do you even know what an escalation clause is?
Nope.
So an escalation clause is, I'm going to pay you $300,000 for this home. However, if you get an offer that is above mine, I will go up increments of X, whatever X is. Let's say I'll go up $500 over their previous offer up until X. So I might offer 300 grand, but my escalation clause will let me go to 320. So as long as everybody else bids under 320, I would go up to 320.
Okay.
Automatically. You don't have to
ask. That's my ceiling.
And you saw tons of people using escalation clauses back then. So you'd have two or three people with escalation clauses and you never even, it's kind of like day trading triggers, like when the stock market, the computers start bidding things up and it's not actually the humans behind it.
Right.
That's what those escalation clauses
were. So on the escalation clause, do the realtors know they have one or does it, they don't know? They don't know what the ceiling is. You wouldn't want them to know.
Well, they do know. So the buyer's agent writes it, the seller's agent receives it, and they get the offer, and all of a sudden they say, we're accepting offers until 5 p.m. today.
Okay.
So you get five offers
but
in.
But it would be kind of unethical if your escalation cost says, I'll go up to 320, and then you go tell a friend, bid 319.
Well, they, technically and ethically, they're not allowed to tell you, but if they happen to say, I have an offer, we're accepting all offers up until 5 p.m. tonight, they didn't say anything they shouldn't have, so they would farm for leads and farm for contracts, and all of a sudden, one or two of those escalation clauses bid everything up. Now, have I used one before? Absolutely. But it wasn't at the height of the market where you had five or six people using them at the exact same time. It was, I just don't want to lose out on the home that I want, so let's do this.
Right.
And that's where you go back to if it's tactical, makes complete sense. If it's emotional and you're doing things because, oh my gosh, I just can't lose.
How fast does that escalation clause kick in? In other words, if I say, well, I like that house, well, they say it's got a bid on it and we're taking more bids to three, and I say, okay, I'll give 310. Nope. I give 314. Nope.
No, it doesn't even work that way. You would literally say, let's say the home is listed for 300 and you put your offer in at 300 with an escalation clause of $500 up until 320. So you'd go $500 over any other valid contract offer at 5 o'clock when all of the contracts are looked at. If this one over here is 317 and that was the high bid and your escalation clause was there, you now bought the home for $317,500.
Okay. So the person making a bid would not know if he hit the escalation limits or not. Okay, then
until,
that's good.
Until the contract is accepted at the date.
Because that would be unfair to let people know.
And I'm sure some of that has happened as well.
Yeah.
You know, nationwide, know some of those things happen.
People are people.
But back to, are home prices reasonable right now?
No.
Okay. Define that.
When you talk about, $100 a foot, $200 a foot, you know, for me, you know, looking at it.
And I still
have that history of what I know the house sold for 5 years ago.
And that's the problem is you're looking historically this way. I, as a mortgage lender, we still look at debt to income ratio. And you can go back 25 years ago when I started, debt to income ratio was your house payment should be about a third of your income and you should be using no more than 45 to maximum 50% of your income to support house, car, credit cards,
that's
the whole nine yards. Guess what it is today, 25 years later, Russ Clark?
Same.
Same.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me that houses look expensive, but we're still using the same percentage of our incomes, they're not.
But, you know, when I see houses that sold brand new at $15,000 and they've gone up and
they haven't sold for $15,000 in a long time.
I live in a house built in 1970. So
that's a long time ago. That's 55 years ago, Russ.
Yeah. So and now it's worth.
What was the average wage in 1970?
Minimum wage was $1.75 or something.
I think it was cheaper than that.
But now to look at it and say it's older and needs some work and it's worth $300.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So. What do you think that home actually sold for was in 1500?
What do you mean, 15,000?
Maybe 15,000, probably more than that. Let's come up with a real number.
Well, I guess I'm just looking like I know when my parents bought their first house in 1972, it was a four-bedroom with a full basement for 19,900.
Yeah. And you're not wrong.
2,000 square foot.
So look at, let's pretend that home sold for, in 1970, that home probably sold for 24,000, 25,000, the one you're in now. And today you think it's worth 300?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, let's call it an 11, 12 times multiple.
Mm-hmm.
If minimum wage you said was $1.50, where is it now?
Oh, in this state, almost 15.
15?
Yeah.
That's a tenfold increase.
Yeah.
Wage, price, fairly comparable. What were interest rates back in the 70s?
They did shoot up to a 17 at one time.
Oh, yeah. So all of a sudden, you say comparable, it's price, it's debt carrying cost, it's income. And I go back to where we were 25 years ago, income to debt ratio is legitimately the same what Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, and USDA loans allow for. You really should use about a third of your income for your house, no more than 45. You know, some people are stretching it to 50% of your income for house, car, credit cards, and the whole nine yards. So, and while we're budgeting, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, so we are going to take a break. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Derek Eggerberg, Russ Clark, talking mortgages, credit, economy, and a few laughs.
Yeah,
I'm impressed. You changed your music up a little bit.
A little bit.
Like your granddaughter come in and change. Yeah,
it.
Your granddaughter come in and say, Grandpa, put some of this
you
music
think it's
well, it's not
man.
You. Okay. Yuma thanks Helen for helping Russ improve his music selection. You were talking about everything is relative. So what did you just find for home prices?
1970, the home price average for the state of Arizona was $16,300.
Okay, Russ, you're old. Why didn't you buy 100 other houses?
Because I was making $1.25 an hour.
So you said something off air that everything is relative.
It is relative.
So the relative price to income and living back then is exactly the same as it is now. But we talk a little bit more openly about it. And, oh, my gosh, look at how expensive that is. Oh, my gosh. You know, go get my alternator replaced. Oh, my gosh, how expensive is that? Proportionally, it's still kind of the same. You know, we all want to make more money, which means everybody else wants to make more money, which means things are going to cost a little bit more. But if you say income went up 10 to 12 times, home prices went up 10 to 12 times, and we're using the exact same amount proportionally of somebody's income to carry the debt,
yeah.
It's really the same.
And sometimes things get out of whack. The prices may go up on houses much faster than income, but eventually income catches it and the prices stall and come down. They balance over time. I mean, you can find periods in time where this just doesn't make sense, and no one's going to buy a house for a while.
Yeah.
And then the market realizes that, and the prices come down.
And when you say all of that realization, is most of that triggered emotionally?
I think so.
Yeah. It's the tactical thing is give me a one-page budget. Let me budget what I or anybody else can comfortably afford right now. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it over time, because here's the safety net. If you bought a home 10 years ago at a much cheaper price, do you have to pay more for it today? No, you still own the home.
Yeah.
You still are paying the debt. You possibly can refinance the debt that has been paid down over time. So over your life cycle, does a 30-year fixed rate mortgage get cheaper for you over time?
Relatively, yes, because you go in wages go up generally.
Generally, your wages go up.
And the mortgage doesn't.
So if your home pays itself down slowly over time, the mortgage is amortized, and your wages slowly go up over time, later in life, let's pretend you just did a rate and term refinance and just restretched it out over another 30 years, you could drop the payment. Or yeah. It doesn't even matter, because if your wages go up and your debt structure hasn't changed, that mortgage gets cheaper over time, easier to pay.
Yeah, and you say get cheaper. It stays the same, but it's cheaper because you're making more money.
Percentage generally of your budget, yes. And that's the thing is, you know, the hardest time to get into a mortgage is day one, because that's when you're using the most amount of your income. It's the most stressful. And you assume, Russ, are you making more today than you did four years ago?
No.
Not at all.
But I've changed everything.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, I used to own lots of businesses.
Since four years ago.
Oh, four? Probably make a little more.
Okay. So if you had a mortgage 4 years ago, today it would be less expensive of your budget because your income has changed minutely. Agreed?
Yep.
That's the whole thing. And so from an apartment dweller perspective, and you and I need to help the next generation of home buyers, our grandkids, our kids, our nieces, our nephews, they need to understand that home, please don't necessarily take a look at what Jerome Powell is saying. Don't look at the global economy. Look at your own personal budget. Russ, do you and Helen have the income to go buy another home? Should you choose?
I think there's enough stuff available to do that if we wanted to.
Okay, yeah. So you have that. You get to make that choice. Are you letting President Trump, Jerome Powell, former President Biden, are you letting any of those guys make those decisions for you?
No.
No. That's a personal choice based on your personal budget, period, end of story.
And I'm not leaving this house.
Dead or alive?
Either one.
Okay. Does Helen know that?
No, she doesn't know. But you know, we're comfortable with the size. We're comfortable with everything. And I'm doing a massive amount of remodeling myself.
Do you have grass in the front yard?
Not yet. Well, there is. It's not where I want it yet.
So
I'm going to ask Trump what to do.
Can you get green grass in your front yard like they're going to do in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, I'm going to have to do that. I think we're going to go desert landscaping.
Okay. Either one, perfect desert landscaping, green grass. Does that influence the value of your home?
Yes.
Curb appeal. Great. Yeah. So you're willing to put money into your home. Why?
Because we want it for our own satisfaction. We're not looking to sell or upgrade. We're upgrading what we have.
Now, if five or six of your neighbors all did that and the block looked phenomenal, would that push prices up in that neighborhood? So you're artificially increasing prices? How dare you, Russ Clark? We're talking about home prices going up, but you simply maintaining your home and beautifying it and kind of improving it.
Yeah, and then we'll be putting flyers out on the other doors and say, cut your grass, you know, because I'm going to become an old man. Like, get off my lawn.
Would your flyer say for $50, I, Russ Clark, will cut your grass?
You know, that is a thought. I need the extra income.
I mean, can you imagine how much exercise you could have just walking up and down the block doing that?
And I get paid for it.
I like it. Okay, would you take 35? So, I mean, we're saying it's sound in principle. Now we're just going to haggle on price, right?
Right.
Okay, so anybody who wants to haggle with Russ to mow their yard, just start bidding. Ooh, escalation clauses on you mowing their yard.
Yeah, there would probably be people who want me to do that just so they can yell at me and throw things. Yeah,
I'll do that. You know, is that an extra cost?
No, okay. It's cheap.
So you're checking the news again. Have you seen any adjustment to the market in the last
kind of flattened out right now? Okay. Even Cracker Barrel's up slightly.
Well, Cracker Barrel is getting a whole lot of news media coverage because they're changing their sign. And let's be brutally honest, any news, even bad news, is good news from a marketing perspective.
Well, not this. It's just like the Bud Light commercial wasn't good news, and they got a lot.
Correct. But here, okay, you change your sign, you get a lot of people who are grumpy, and you get a lot of people talking about it. When was the last time you thought about Cracker Barrel?
I don't really think about Cracker Barrel. It doesn't occupy me.
Okay, but now you just mentioned it on the radio show. We're going to talk about it because they did a signage change.
Well, it's more than that.
What is it?
They did a complete interior redo, and Cracker Barrel historically, you know, had some real problems in the 1990s because they made a rule that you can't be gay and work in our establishment. They got in trouble for that. So now they're going overboard and they're promoting LGBTQ and donating money to LGBTQ causes. Then they changed the interior and stripped it of all of its hominess in many people, which was antiques and things hanging on the wall that were local type stuff. And some people are saying they put the word on there that's going to do the most damage, and that is they've gone woke. So it wasn't that no one says they changed their name. There was a problem. They went woke. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of a kiss of Bud Light death.
And that was a conscious choice.
It was. They hired a new CEO a couple years ago that wants to modify, change, and get a different clientele, much like Bud Light did.
And if you lose the clientele you had, you might have an issue.
Yes. But the lady that's in charge of it, and I don't remember her name now, but she says, but we've done market research. Everybody loves it.
But back to what you're saying, though, is...
You're not going back to your customers.
...is we're now emotionally influenced by that.
Yeah.
It's not going to change where you go to eat today. Period. End of story. And going back to budgeting for a house. Okay, Powell may be emotionally influencing people. President Trump may be emotionally influencing people. The local community... No. It's tactical budget. Make sure it makes sense. And for heaven's sakes, don't have a $2,000 a month car payment if you're going to go work on buying a house, you know, because emotionally you love the car.
No. Here's what you need to do. You need to save and clean up all your finances, do a contract on the house, and before you settle the contract, go buy the car.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you...
there's the
but you've seen it happen.
Yeah, well,
times.
that's where the undisclosed debt monitoring happens.
Yeah.
That, you know, again, within 24 hours of a credit pull anywhere else, once you're under contract, we'll know about it. So please don't do that. And the one that gets me is people still, we do
but
it in...
You caution people.
Oh,
your customers don't do it, and they do
get
it.
They get it verbally. They get it in writing. They get it in an email from our system. And they still go to the local home goods store or the local appliance store and trigger the appliances.
Don't buy the curtains and all that on charge until you are in the house. It's
don't
closed.
Even do washer, dryer, refrigerator. Nothing. Don't do any of that until it's closed and yours, because you still have to account for all of that new debt.
Yeah. You're under scrutiny big time.
And, you know, I had one person, you know, bless their hearts, they bought about $2,500 worth of things. Now, they did one of those no interest, you know, no payments for 12 months.
Shows up now.
Cool. Guess what the minimum payment those things show is? The no interest, no payments for 12 months automatically assume you're going to pay it off in 12 months. So when they booked $2,500 worth of debt, their report now shows they owe just a little more than $200 a month to get it paid off over 12 months.
Right.
Okay, now I have to account for a $200 a month payment.
That can, if you're on a tight deal, that could throw it out.
And you were already at the top end. So there are problems that people emotionally want something for the home, and they're visioning themselves in their home, but they're bringing on a little bit of stress that they don't need.
And I can't park that old car in the driveway of a home like that.
Well, you could, but then I'm sure your neighbors would judge you. But you're not wrong. There's a data point, and I don't remember if it was in a university with an M. I don't know if it was Michigan or Mississippi University, but they did a report that within 6 months of buying a home, somebody buys a new car.
Yep.
But within 6 months of buying a new car, people want to buy a new home.
So really?
It's symbiotic both ways, that you have a new driveway, you got to have a new car in it, but you have a new car, then you start thinking about your living conditions and you got to have a new driveway. But one purchase denotes the other, or at least the the emotional response to go start that process. Now, think of it. You just said it. You got a nice new home, and you're driving the old busted car.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want something that smells new?
Yeah, plus I don't want to leak oil on the new driveway.
Well, then you just go see Russ Clark and get that fixed. So, you know, again, let's go back to the market is going to change. I do believe interest rates are going to come down over the next year. The economy is going in a direction that I think could be very beneficial for all of us. However, if the stock market keeps going up, do mortgage rates go down? And the answer is no. The stock market, if it continues going northwards, if you were a trader that had $1 billion, would you put it in the stock market if it keeps going up? Or would you go take it out of the market and move it into something low producing like bonds that's safe?
I'm not a safe guy.
Okay. So the safety, the flight to safety is when you start to see other cracks in the dam.
Oh, when you think something bad's going to happen.
So
of course
if the stock market keeps going up to you and I as a consumer, mortgage rates are not going to drop like a rock unless there's some artificial influence like the Fed coming in, and this is not how it would happen, but unless the Fed came in and whacked things like crazy. So if you see the stock market rocketing and you and I are celebrating our 401ks and our IRAs, mortgage rates are not coming down to the threes and fours. And that's the other question I get from a lot of young buyers.
Now, when are we going to hit three again?
When are we coming back to three? I don't want to buy until we're back in the threes. Well, unless we have a global pandemic like COVID again and governments are throwing free money and artificially buying every debt imaginable, you're not going to see threes again.
Probably never in your lifetime.
Let's please not do that again because that was not fun.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I say that. My mom.
You were busy.
We were busy, but my mom didn't have a funeral because you couldn't even gather in public during those times. So
wow.
We all had really good interest rates and everybody had lots of free money, but the humanistic connection disappeared. I don't want to get rid of the humanistic. You know, what would happen? Could you and I still do the radio show if we weren't allowed to be within 10 feet of each other?
Yeah, because we would lie and cheat.
We could, and you could,
well,
you know, there's other rooms and
there's
could
a room
it.
Right next door that's wired for a mic. Just for that reason.
But it hasn't worked in like 20 years.
No, it would work today.
Did it?
I got the wires right there. I could just hook it up. I never used it. I'm kind of a rebel on the whole COVID. I was just saw it for what it was.
And that's the only reason interest rates got down into the threes. So if you saw the Fed purchasing bonds, and I know we've talked about this before, they called it quantitative easing, QE1, QE2, yeah. QE3. When the Federal Reserve bought $8 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars worth of bonds, and I'm talking mortgage bonds, corporate bonds, junk bonds, they were literally buying anything the market could create to stimulate and make sure the economy didn't falter. That's why rates got down into threes, because when your rich uncle is literally buying anything, do you have to offer a good price on it?
No,
they're buying it no matter what.
No.
And if your rich uncle turned around and started selling, let's say they said, you know what, we're going to sell all $8 trillion of our mortgages in the next quarter, which isn't going to happen. But if they did that, what would they do to the bond market?
Oh, they would not be a happy day.
They would absolutely destroy it, and interest rates would be in the double digits handily.
Yeah.
You know, so again, the only reason rates did that is because there was some artificial pool happening, some artificial gaming on the backside. Now, did they keep the economy up and running? To an extent,
mm-hmm.
Sure. But don't wait for rates to come back down to the threes. Don't even assume they're going to drop a full point this year.
No, because, and you mentioned everything balances. And if rates come down to three tomorrow, prices of houses would go stupid because everyone would say, now I'm buying. And they would rush into your office and everyone would have, I want to buy a house. And all the sellers would have such demand,
if
the
rates,
price would balance it out.
If rates went from, let's use six today to three, if they dropped the 3 points, okay, that would force home prices minimum up 33%. That means that $300,000 home today would be $400,000 the minute rates drop that much.
Yeah.
Okay, now take.
So ideally, you would buy today at 6% interest. And when that does happen to three, refinance.
Yeah, you don't wait on the purchase. You purchase when it's affordable.
Well, when do you need a house?
And if, here's the if, it's the old, you know, mathematical if-then statement. If interest rates drop, then I refinance. if interest rates don't drop, I bought the home when it was comfortable and affordable for me. Mm-hmm. Cool. You don't get hurt that way.
The rain's not hitting you. You got a place to put your groceries.
You know, Russ has a place to put his car in the garage.
There you go. That's all you need.
Dripping oil on the driveway.
Yeah, you got it all figured out.
So, you know, tons of good stuff. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk about some community stuff. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
This is Derek Egeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Ra, ra, ah, ah, Roma, Roma, ma, ga, ga.
It's hot and humid. It was kind of nice this morning, but it got really hot and humid already. So I'm going to say it's a gorgeous Friday. The sunrise was amazing this morning.
It's not fall
but
yet.
It's going to be toasty again. So, you know, here we are. We're
high today of 110.
Yeah. We're late August. We're starting to plan for all kinds of things coming up. Some of the community events that I would love to talk about. First and foremost, the Balloon Festival. We're 90 days away from the Colorado River Crossing Balloon Festival.
Thank goodness.
Okay, so you know where it's been moved to?
The PAC.
Okay, so everything is at the PAC this year, which is going to be super cool. If you are a photographer and a videographer, get out there and take some great pictures. So start planning on some things. And the reason I say that is the launch is in the morning. So Saturday, launch at sunrise. Sunday, launch at sunrise. Remember, formerly, we would have to go over to Desert Sun Stadium to do the glow and the fireworks and the drone show. That's all happening at the PAC. So you could literally be out there all day Saturday, and that's November what? 14th through the 16th?
I didn't know. So, I'm glad you told me.
I appreciate that. Well, you know, you'd find the calendar at some point.
I would.
But we're starting to work on that, and I think the photo-video opportunities are going to be phenomenal this year. I know there's going to be tether rides out there. So because the facility, it's all at the same location, you might have people doing tether rides from after the launches right all up until the time the glow happens. You could have people out there doing tether rides all day long. That would be super fun. I know the drone show is back on the docket. So you're going to have the glow, you're going to have the drone show, and then you're going to have fireworks. So, and you're going to be out there helping park cars and orchestrate.
Is that what I'm going to be doing?
I don't know, but I just want to make sure you're out there.
Man.
But
I've done that job before.
More balloons this year because the facility is expanded. You have some special shape balloons coming in, which is going to be super cool. And a couple of really big ones. So I love the fact that we're almost out of summer and we can start planning on doing some of these things that are fun outdoors, but, and it's comfortable.
According to my my phone, the high will be below 100 as of next Tuesday.
Is that permanent or is that for a day? Because you know September.
It looks like it's for 3 days. And okay. Then the high after that, the highest I see is 105.
Okay, so I can have you come over, mow my yard in those 3 days, and then
I'll do
put the mower away? Got it.
Got an electric mower, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we have a small yard. I have an electric mower where the battery, if charged fully, will cut a half acre.
So when you go to the all desert landscaping that you said you're going to go to, then what are you going to do with the mower?
I'll come cut your yard.
All right. Appreciate that. So Balloon Festival coming up. That, love planning that. And again, if you go to the caberos.org website, all of the pictures, videos are on there. Chairman this year, Josh Finkbeiner, is doing an amazing job moving that. It's a huge undertaking.
It's a nice facility, and it's. I'm looking forward to the opportunities because I think it is a nice facility. It's going to have better bathrooms and places to sit and all that kind of stuff. Because it's softball,
yes.
Four softball fields or baseball
much
fields,
larger facility. There's going to be more food vendors out there. There's going to be things to do all day long. Yeah. I know there's even going to be a entertainment concert midday, so there's going to be stuff to do and things to listen to.
Fireworks?
In the evening.
Okay. And I think that would be a better place for fireworks. Even.
After the drone show. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I say. The photo video opportunity, because there's nothing in the way.
Right.
There's no huge
It's right there
grand,
on the canal, right by the...
There's no huge grandstands. There's no other building facilities that's going to block your view.
Right.
So I'm envisioning that Yuma's going to have a ton of pictures and videos going out on social media and all over the place after this year's event.
I mean, yeah.
Now, that's one of the things that we need some help with. Have you, you've seen a couple of the videos that the Caballeros put out on last year?
They're doing a nice job.
That first video has slowly started to be picked up nationwide, so it's now over 7,000 views.
Okay.
Okay. You know, that's not a lot, but when you look at most, the average number of views on a
Joe
YouTube
Rogan
video,
gets more.
Well, he gets more because he's Joe Rogan.
Okay.
So can you call Joe, because I know you two are friends, and get him to share that video?
No.
But for everybody listening, it would be nice if we could ask for their assistance. If you went to YouTube and searched Caballeros.org or searched Caballeros de Yuma, find the page, start finding a couple of those videos, both the Balloon Festival and Midnight at the Oasis, and share those and ask your friends and family to watch them. Let's start to push those nationwide, because the more people that see it, the more balloonists we can attract nationwide.
Right.
Do you know how many balloon pilots are licensed nationwide?
Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't even have a clue. I have no idea.
About 850 are licensed.
That's it?
Well, that's what you can see licensure. Now, I'm sure people like you, Russ, just go drive cars and fly balloons without licenses. Mm-hmm. You drive without your license.
Of course, right? I would do that.
Right? Yeah. But let's pretend there's 850.
Okay.
If we're getting 25 to 30 per year, we're not getting but 4 to 5% this direction. If more people see Yuma and they see the amazing flying weather and the great community, could we attract 40 or 50 balloons down here?
Sure.
Cool. Would that make the balloon festival more successful?
Oh, yeah, much more.
So again, it's one of those things that I would like to ask for everybody's help. Find those videos, watch them, share them, comment on them. You just don't know what one or two other posts help pick that up.
And balloonist is like any other sport and hobby or whatever. They're looking for places to enjoy and have fun using their skills and using their hobby.
Well, and what you just said is, does moving to the pack help the balloonists?
I think so.
Why?
Well, it's going to put it a little farther east, away from the border.
You're 100% correct. So those few miles farther east now give the pilot even more distance to land, possibly longer flights, possibly safer.
A little more breathing room.
Yeah.
And they might even fly right over the airport.
That would be phenomenal.
Well,
and they're allowed to, as long as they, you know.
Yeah, they don't have a radio, but they're informed. They know what's going on. They know what's happening. In fact, I'm a pilot, and I had a plane during one of the balloon festivals. And when I was flying that day, and I checked in with the airport, and they were asking me, okay, you've got a balloon, about where is it located, where's it going? And they're always checking. They check other pilot reports to find out what's the altitude of the balloon, and what's it, where's its direction. They could see it, but it's perspective-wise, they just want a viewpoint of how far away are they. Are they over 16th Street or whatever?
It's a wicker basket and a nylon envelope. You're not really picking it up on radar much.
Not picking it up on radar. That's all visual. But they're fully informed, aware. They work with the towers and stuff.
So Balloon Festival, believe it or not, less than 90 days away. So lots of stuff to plan for there. And again, you're already starting the process of the tower lighting. You're 95 days away from lighting the water tower for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Happens every year.
Does it?
It comes in.
Really? Every 365 days?
We're in the mix of heat waves, and it's been there for 3 months. Our three hottest months in Arizona are Yuma, Arizona, or June, July, August.
Can we get done with August? Can we
just
get in September?
Done. We're almost done, man.
So those things, and then similarly, got some interesting things coming up for Midnight at the Oasis. So Midnight at the Oasis had some nationwide entertainment show up last year. Some things got picked up social media-wise, some YouTube videos. Right now, between the two videos that are out there, there's about 15,000 views on Midnight at the Oasis, and it's starting to catch steam. There's a couple of groups that are being chased to come in, and there's also a couple of car guys that do interviews that are going to be coming down with a large number of followers. So both of those really should lend some credence to what Midnight at the Oasis is in this gem of a community. Because do most people realize what Yuma is that are outside of Yuma?
Oh, gosh, no.
And I think the answer is no.
I lived in San Diego forever, drove through Yuma many times. I had no idea.
You found
what
the
it
bathroom,
really...
right?
That's
bathroom,
all it was,
fuel
a bathroom and, stop. And a I was on my way to Tucson.
So, you know, again, for those that are in business looking to partner with Caballeros.org or Caballeros de Yuma, call the office 343-1715. There are sponsorships available. I know Jeff Kamen, our sponsorship chair, is always looking for additional sponsors. We've got the Balloon Festival coming up, the Tower Lighting.
Jeff, do your job.
You know what? He's doing a pretty good job. He really is. But that's one of those jobs that, look, it's very easy to go, hey, the guy who's doing parking did it. The guy who's doing field layout, stripe the fields. Or, you know, Chairman Finkbeiner, who's putting the Balloon Festival on, gets the credit. But it's the guys who are helping raise the funds to attract in the entertainment, the balloonists, pay for the venues, those types of things. So, again, does Jeff Kamen need more sponsors?
Always.
Yes, always. So, again, there's opportunities for those, and we're 90 days away from the Balloon Festival. I know he was still looking for sponsorships there. Midnight at the Oasis is now 6 months away. I just don't understand how it seems like we just finished that, and we're coming back around on that again.
But you start working on the next one the day that one ends. You know, it's
I know.
It
It'd be
going.
Nice to have just a quick break for a moment. But here, we're working on that. So entertainment is going to be very, very good this year. Some of the other people coming in nationwide are going to be very good, and I think you're going to start seeing some droplets of this nationwide. When you say other car shows, name one or two car shows that you know the name of.
No.
Okay, you don't want to. But there are nationwide car shows that they do pop-ups in cities all over the place.
Oh, yeah, in little cities, big cities, or all over the place.
And those are a lot of those are business opportunities that here's a for-profit company that does these, and they pop up all over the place. This is the other reason that a couple of these nationwide guys are coming in is they now realize this is a nonprofit, and the funds go back to other community groups. They go back into scholarships. They go back into major funds helping support the community. And that's the reason I think Jeff is so passionate about looking for sponsors is the money goes back to good causes. It doesn't get kept anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So those are the things we got to plan on. If you or you know somebody who would like to help sponsor, whether it's the Balloon Festival, Midnight at the Oasis, call the Caballeros.org office, 928-343-1715. Ask for Jeff Kamen. Make them transfer you to his cell phone. He loves getting interrupted all day long from his real career.
I'll give you a cell phone.
Could you?
No.
Okay.
I won't do it on the air.
So
that would be bad.
We've got less than a minute left. Again, for all of us at Mortgage One, KBL Yuma, thank you to those who are serving, have served, allowing us to talk like this on air. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay cool, everyone.
Because the flag still stands for freedom. And they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'm glad.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.